Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, morning church. It's great to be with you. Who was here last weekend for our Disciple the Nations Sunday? It was so good. It's like 10% of the room raised their hands. Maybe people aren't used to that. Who was here last week for our Disciple the Nations Mission Sunday? So good, so good. If you missed it, I encourage you to jump on YouTube, watch the sermon back, and also head out into the foyer and engage with the Disciple the Nations stand that they can share with you some more information about what God is doing through our church in global missions. And who does not have one of these cards or didn't receive one of these cards last week or this week? Because I want to encourage you, every single one of us are called to partner with God in the Great Commission. And every single one of us can do something to advance God's kingdom in the nations. And I get to talk to missionaries each and every week, and they've given up their whole lives to serve God and reach the lost and help the poor and transform communities that look like heaven on earth because they chose to go. And some of us may not ever be able to get there, but I think we can do something. And so just before we get into the word today, I just wanted to encourage you, if you've taken some time this week to pray and consider what you can give to the work of God's mission, you can fill out some of these forms. They're also at the doors upon exit. They're also beside the info desk in the foyer. Grab one of those cards, seek the Lord and ask him what he would empower you to give. And just like what Pastor Ali said, you can never outgive God. Amen? Amen, amen. So if you want to return these, you can return them in offering buckets as they come around, or even at the info desk, we have a an option for you to give at the info desk as well, so you can return them there, or FPOS and all that sort of stuff is there as well. So I want to encourage you to do that. And who's ready for the Word of God this morning? Yeah. Awesome. Well, I can't wait to share with you this message today, which is called The Way the Kingdom Advances. And we've been following this series on discipleship, and today I want to continue it. And if you have your Bibles with you, why don't you open to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And while you do that, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing across the room today. God, we just honor you, and this morning we recognize that you've been speaking to us. You've already been ministering to your people. You've been healing bodies and bringing freedom and releasing hope. And God, through the scriptures that we open today and the scriptures that we gather around, I pray you'd continue to speak. Breathe upon your word. I pray that you would empower us to be a weapon of mass destruction for the kingdom of darkness and a weapon of mass construction for the kingdom of God. I pray that you would empower your church by the Holy Spirit to make disciples, to share your love and your power that has so radically saved us to a world that so radically needs salvation. God, I pray, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Matthew chapter 28, this is a famous passage of scripture that we've been gathering around often in this discipleship series, but I want to read this to you. And this passage of scripture takes off as Jesus has ascended from the grave. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he resurrected, and he's standing before his disciples, and he gives them one last mission, one last bit of encouragement, one last vision that they can hold on to. And this is right before he ascends into heaven to sit on the throne. And he says to his disciples, this was his last words. He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and" what? "Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. This was Jesus's last words that he gave us, and this is the church's first priority, to make disciples, to make disciples. How many people know that a part of making disciples is not just discipling someone at church, but actually sharing Jesus with somebody who's never heard about him before? How many people know that discipleship doesn't just start at church, it starts actually in your workplace and in the world? Discipleship is not just about how I train people to be more Christian. It's actually also about carrying the kingdom culture of heaven into my place of influence and demonstrating and representing Jesus to someone who maybe has seen him poorly represented before. Discipleship starts actually even before you evangelize and share the gospel with somebody. Discipleship starts when someone meets a son or a daughter of God, and how you treat them, how you respond to them, how you live and operate in your world of influence. Discipleship starts there. Amen? It can start when you have a young person working for you in your business and you start to teach them the ways of life that you've learned from your relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you're a leader in your workplace or school and you implement certain cultural values that come from heaven, and people start to taste and see that there is a different culture here and want to know more about where you got it from. Discipleship can start before you even mention the name of Jesus, but by how you represent Jesus to others. I don't know about you, but I don't think there was anyone as bad at sharing Jesus with people than I was when I first got saved. I was burning for Jesus. I got saved around 17 years old, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. I was so excited for what God was doing in my life. I received so much freedom from sin. I had this newfound confidence and boldness within me, and I wanted to share it with my friends and the people of the world that I'd hung out with that was still deep in sin and surrounded by darkness. And my method for trying to share with them about Jesus was not really successful. In fact, instead of sharing with them about Jesus, this is how bad I was at evangelism, is that I would try and convince people that church is cool. That was my version of evangelism. Had nothing to do with Jesus, but I'd start by trying to convince people that church is cool. I'd show them videos on my phone of like one of our worship sets and be like, can you see the lights? And can you see, like, they have a drum kit at this church? Like, don't you think that's cool? And my friends would be like, yeah, I guess, bro, it's cool. I would try and send them like Instagram clips and reels of like preachers preaching and be like, check out this motivational speaker. Doesn't it get you pumped up? What do you think? Actually, he's Christian. And they would be like, cool, bro. And so my version of making disciples and my version of sharing my faith was trying to convince people into Christianity or convince people that church was cool. But how many people know that we're not called to make disciples of Christianity? We're not called to make disciples of church. We're called to make disciples of Jesus. And even sometimes we can think, oh, I'm playing my part, I'm making disciples because, like, you know, I'm teaching people on a Sunday how to hand out flyers, or I'm teaching people how to make coffee, and that is good. And doing that from the culture and the perspective of heaven and doing that well and sharing and serving people with the love of Jesus, yes, that's a form of discipleship, but there's a whole world out there who are desperate to know the truth and the reality of the kingdom of God. And I wasn't sharing it. I was trying to convince them to come to church, and maybe when they come to church, then someone can help disciple them. But discipleship starts way, way, way before that. And so because I wasn't very successful in that method of sharing, I started to actually research and Google and YouTube different methods on ways to share the gospel. And I found these incredible gospel tools, things like the testimony tool or the three circles or the 3D gospel. And I started researching and watching different methods and different ways you can share about Jesus to others. And I started to practice them and rehearse them. And I would watch them and try and draw them out. And then I would find myself at work having a conversation with somebody. And as I'm chatting to them in a construction site, I'd be sharing with them about, oh yeah, I went to church on Sunday. Why do you go to church? And I'll be like, okay, all right, okay, here we go. This is the moment. All right, I need a paper, I need a pen. I want to draw something for you. I need to show you how this is the gospel, and you drew a cross here, and this is what, and I'd start to feel really anxious because I missed the first point. And I tried to convince people into Christianity. Then I tried to learn the methods of how to share the gospel. But the methods are good and you should learn some, but they became quite overwhelming for me. And I struggled to even just look the person in the eyes and relate to them on a relational level and just simply share what Jesus has done in my life. And if he's done it in me, he could do it in you. And the methods overwhelm me. And even the methods itself is not the point. Like you should learn how to share the gospel. You should learn how you can explain it. You should understand it for yourself, and you should learn how to share your testimony. But can I tell you, evangelism and making disciples is less about a method. It's more about a man. Evangelism and making disciples is all about Jesus. I don't need a method to tell you how amazing my wife is. I can simply share with you about the time that I met her and how my relationship with her has changed my life. It's made me a better man. It's taught me to be more loving and more kind. I don't need a method to share that with you. And methods can help you understand the gospel, but I just want to encourage you, the simplicity of making disciples in your world is if you've been touched by the love of Jesus, you've got something to give. You could be saved for 1 month, 1 year, 12 years, or 1 week. You've got something to give. You don't have to be a Christian for 3 years before you start making disciples. You start making disciples the moment you have a revelation that Jesus is alive and he wants to live inside of you. He wants to live inside of you so much that he wants to overflow out of you for the sake of others. And you don't have to fully understand all of that to start sharing with people the experience that you've had with Jesus. Methods are helpful, but it's less about a method. It's all about Jesus. We're not called to make disciples of Christianity. We're not called to make disciples of church. We're called to make disciples of Jesus. Of Jesus. Why does God want us to make disciples? Why did he give us this final mission? Why does he want us to be a part of it? Why doesn't God just do it all himself? Why does God want us to be a part of making disciples? Why is it so important for him that the people out there and the people in here and the people around the world actually disciple others to know Jesus? Why is that so important? Well, I think the gospel makes more sense when you start to understand the kingdom of God. I want you to open with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is asked by his disciples, how should we pray? You see so many people heal Jesus. You see the power of God moving through your life. You see lives completely changed. Our lives are completely changed. Obviously, the source of this power that's flowing through your life has to do with the way you pray. So teach us, how do you pray? How do you pray? And Jesus says this. He says, pray like this. Our Father, maybe we should read it together. All right, I'm reading from the New King James this morning. I don't know what you're reading from. Maybe you can just try and follow along. But let's read this together. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pause. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you understand the kingdom of God, the gospel starts to make more sense. And when the gospel starts to make more sense, you awaken to your purpose and mission. See, each and every one of us has a unique mission, a unique calling, maybe to raise a family or maybe to serve on the mission field or maybe to lead a business. You have a unique mission and calling, but that's actually your secondary calling. Your primary function, your primary calling as a son and daughter of God is to make disciples of all nations. You have a responsibility, a mission on this earth to go and make disciples. If you can do that through business, then do it. If you can do that by raising a family in the ways of the Lord, then do it. If you can do that by being a teacher or a nurse or a doctor, then do it. But when you go out into this world, God wants to fill you with the reality of His kingdom, so that earth looks more like heaven and people look more like Jesus. He said, this is my desire when I pray. Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth, here in Melbourne, here in Richmond, here in Australia, on earth as it is in heaven. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that you and I have a responsibility. That whenever we see something on the earth that doesn't belong in heaven, we have a responsibility to bring change. Whenever we see something on the face of the earth, in your workplace, in your family, that doesn't belong in heaven, you have a responsibility to address it with the authority and power of heaven. Oh, and the good news is, he said in Matthew 28, you're not going to be alone. I'll be with you always. I'll be with you always. When you start to understand the kingdom of God, you see why it's so important to the heart of the Father that we make disciples. Because when Adam and Eve sinned and fell short of the glory of God, and we carried in their footsteps, followed in their footsteps, and darkness started to spread across the earth, evil, sin, and wickedness started to become a normal part of culture when it once wasn't. And God has this desire in His heart that He would empower His sons and daughters to drive out darkness and bring the kingdom. Oh man, I've heard so many testimonies of businessmen who have built a business and one day they got saved and they started to implement kingdom culture values in their business. They didn't necessarily even use the name of Jesus, but they started to structure their business with kingdom culture values. And all of a sudden, not only did their business start to thrive, but people in their workplace started to notice the atmosphere shifted. Amen. Instead of leaving after 2 years and quitting and finding another job, people want to stick around forever because something feels like a piece of heaven here on earth. People get saved, marriages get restored, people get healed in their bodies, their mental health is suddenly restored. And what's happened? Someone ushered in the kingdom of God in their business and people want to know more about where it came from. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This gospel we talk about, the gospel means good news, and the good news of the kingdom of God that we preach is so important. I remember just a few years ago, I woke up and went to work and someone said to me, have you heard the news? I said, no, what's the news? They said, have you heard the news? We have a new king. Do you remember this? Do you remember the day? It was all over television, all over social media. People were talking about, did you know that, like, the day that it happened, did you know the queen has passed and we're going to have a king? And in a similar way, this good news of the gospel is this message that darkness has covered the face of the earth, but there's a new king on the scene. Oh, there has once been a history of problems and trouble and pain, and the culture of society has been twisted and lives have been impacted and riddled with sin. But guess what? There's a new king on the scene. And he, not only is there a new king on the scene, but this king is good. Oh, and not only is he good, he's not far away. He's closer to you than the air that you're breathing. Oh, and he's not only good, he's not only not far away, but he actually wants to invite you into his kingdom. Yeah. and his kingdom is not just good. His kingdom is powerful. It's full of love and forgiveness and restoration and healing. Oh, his kingdom is wonderful. There's angels in his kingdom. There's signs and wonders in his kingdom. Oh, there's heavenly provision for any of your problems when you call upon the name of Jesus in his kingdom. There is something special. The good news is there's a new king on the scene and he's come to establish his kingdom. And as he's establishing his kingdom and it's moving across the earth is starting to look more like heaven. And he actually wants to invite sons and daughters to be a part of it. Why does God want us to make disciples? Why doesn't he just do it? Because whenever God wants to move in a significant way across the earth, he wants to do it through his sons and daughters. He's not a micromanaging, controlling father. He's a very releasing father. And he loves to see his sons and daughters build, create, work, and advance his kingdom. And he wants to fully empower you to do it. There's a new king on the scene. There's a new king on the scene. God's desire for our city is not that we would just have churches that are in revival. God's desire for the people of Melbourne is not that they would just hear about what God's doing within our church. God's desire for our city and for the people of this city is that he would be able to transform them in his presence, uproot the stuff in their life that is causing them to perish, and transform them and make them more like Jesus. Could you imagine with me, what would Melbourne look like if more people looked more like Jesus? Could you imagine what the atmosphere in the city would feel like? Could you imagine how your workplace would feel if more people became more like Jesus? Imagine if every Christian in this room and maybe in other rooms meeting this morning actually surrendered to the Holy Spirit and said, God, anything in me that is not of you, I need you to transform it. I need you to uproot it, change me, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit so that when I go out into my world, people don't see a poor representation of Christ. They see the hands and feet of Christ in my life. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You may be the closest thing to a Bible anyone ever reads. So it's very important that we come in here on a Sunday morning, we lift our hands in worship, we surrender to Jesus, we fix our eyes on him, and he starts to reflect and shine on us, and we be transformed to become more like him. Because when we get out there in this world, we are representing him every day. Amen. What would Melbourne look like if more people became more like Jesus? I love this quote from Charles Spurgeon. He says this, "To be a soul winner is the happiest thing in the world. And with every soul you bring to Jesus, you seem to get a new heaven here upon the earth." Why is it so important that we make disciples? Because God has a deep desire for earth to look more like heaven and for people to look more like Jesus. I love this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says this, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." Foreknew means that God knew you and loved you and had a plan for you before you knew him. He dreamed of you. Before you were created, you were a dream and a thought in the heart of God. He foreknew you, but he also predestined you, which means you have a destiny to be conformed into the image of his son. I love that word conformed because it gives this imagery of like a potter forming the clay and molding it into the shape in which it needs to go. And that's really good news for me because there are things in my life that I actually don't like. There are attitudes and behaviors. There's anger, there's frustrations, there's lack of patience. There's issues in our lives that we don't want to wrestle with. The good news here is that we come to Jesus and he actually wants to transform us, conform us, and mold us into his image. And as he does, people get to see Jesus walking on the earth through you. It is so important that we sit at the feet of Jesus here on a Sunday. But the true fruit and evidence of someone who has sat at the feet of Jesus is that they become his hands and feet on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And God is calling us. He is calling us. Every nation would be safer, more joyful, more loving, more healed, more unified, more empowered, more creative, more beautiful if more people became more like Jesus. God is wanting to use you and I to usher in his kingdom on the earth. Did you know that 42% of our world's population don't know Jesus? 42% of our world's population haven't heard the gospel. They don't even know the reality of the gospel, the reality of the kingdom that is available to them. 42%. Some people have never even heard the name of Jesus. There's people in our city that have migrated here from different nations, nations that the name of Jesus is banned from being spoken. We put a map on the front doors. Who's seen the map at the very front doors as you walk in? And it was so great that each of us was able to put a sticker on the nation that we were born in. And you'll see that hundreds of people have come from different nations around the world. And we find ourselves unified together in the presence of God here at Pneuma Church. It's a beautiful thing. But that's just here at Pneuma Church. Out there in the world around us, across our suburbs and the areas of your influence, there are people who have come from nations and places and families and homes that have never spoken the name of Jesus under their roof. Some people get so hung up on the second coming of Christ when half the world has never even heard of his first. And we can debate all day long in our life groups about when the rapture is going to happen and how it's going to happen and is this war or that, is that going to bring in the second coming of Christ? And we can argue about that all we want, but the reality is half the world hasn't heard of his first coming. And as sons and daughters, we have a responsibility to carry our Father's heart to the world around us. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Because in our city alone, there are millions of people from different cultures, different nations, different areas of society. And I sometimes struggled with this because I thought, I don't know how to relate to a multimillionaire businessman and share the gospel with him because that's not the life that I live in, the world that I'm a part of. And I don't know how to relate to this person or that person from that culture or this culture. But this morning, I want to give you five languages that everyone can understand the gospel in. Five languages that everyone can understand the gospel in. Five languages you can speak today and five languages other people can hear and receive. Are you ready? Five languages that transcend cultures, barriers, and other boundaries you find in sharing the gospel. The first one is this. It's simply love and compassion. Love and compassion. John chapter 13, 35, Jesus says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Discipleship looks like love on legs. Discipleship looks like love on legs. If you are wanting to demonstrate, not just communicate, but demonstrate the reality of Jesus to people, love and compassion is one of the key indicators that someone has been transformed by God. If we can't love the people in front of us, how would they possibly believe that God could love them? Jesus modeled this everywhere he went. I struggled to reach certain people and I struggled to share Jesus with them, but I started practicing simply with love and compassion. And as I started to practice love and compassion, I started to build up this confidence in sharing with people. I started to build up this confidence and they started to ask me, why are you being so kind and encouraging to me? Why are you being so supportive and so helpful? And I was able to share, well, God's helped me and I sense his love towards you and I'd love to serve you and help you in this way. But can I just make a quick encouragement? When you share love and encouragement and compassion with others, and people ask you why, make sure you do mention Jesus. Because we don't want to be rallying glory to ourselves of how loving and how kind we are. We want to share with people that it's Jesus' love through us to them. Because we could receive all the glory and there's no transformation. It's God's love moving through us. The second one is this. I'm going to go fast for time here today. The second one is the power of God. The power of God is a language that everyone can recognize and understand. And they can see the gospel in the demonstration of the power of God. I put love and compassion first because something we notice in the scriptures is that the love of God overflows with miracle-working power. The love of God overflows with miracle-working power. I'd say this, love attracts the anointing. Love attracts the anointing. Matthew 14, 14, Jesus states, it says about Jesus, it says, when Jesus landed and saw the crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Have you ever noticed that trend in the scriptures that Jesus, before he healed someone, it often says, and he had compassion on them and then healed their sick. It's almost like compassion and love is the runway that the power of God lands on. And sometimes I don't know where to start when praying for somebody, but if I can ask God, God, show me how much you love them, all of a sudden I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit rising within me. And I start to feel this conviction that I don't want my friend to suffer from back pain anymore. Or I start to have this conviction and this burden that I don't want my colleague to be suffering with depression on their way home. I want to pray and release the power of heaven so that their world starts to change and heaven starts to shift their atmosphere. Love becomes the runway that the power of God moves upon. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, Jesus said this, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. God wants all of us to be witnesses, but he wants us to do it full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people that are shy in their faith get touched by the power of God and become so bold in sharing their testimony. I've seen people that were so self-conscious and so selfish, they didn't care about others, but the power of God touched them and transformed them, and they started to share his love with everybody they could. When the power of God gets a hold of your life, not only do you look like Jesus, but you start to demonstrate what Jesus would do in a situation. See, we're not called to just be good communicators or explainers of the gospel. We're called to be great demonstrators of it. And the power of God demonstrated. Nothing shares the gospel or the reality of the kingdom of God like someone experiencing the power of God. I've spoken to atheists who have had pain in their wrists, their knees, or their ankles, maybe a fracture or a sprain or a break, and we've prayed for them even though they didn't want prayer or even though they didn't believe in it, and the power of God touches them and they go, well, I can't argue with that. We're not called to be great explainers alone, but great demonstrators of the gospel. Reinhard Bonnke says it like this. He says, the less Holy Spirit we have, the more cake and coffee we need to keep the church going and keep people coming. I'd say it back in those days, I'd say, well, the less lights and smoke and cool music and professional preaching and motivational speaking we need. When the Holy Spirit is here, people can sense that God is moving. When people receive healing and freedom and they are relieved from their depression and demons are cast out of them that have been tormenting them for generations, when people experience the power of God, they need a lot less convincing. We're called to be people that speak the language of the power of God. The third language here is the language of the presence of God. The language of the presence of God. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. You're not called to be a witness on your own. It's with the power and the presence of God. Luke 24, 32, as the disciples were walking with Jesus, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? They didn't fully understand who he was or what was happening in that moment, but they sensed his presence. Presence is often felt before truth is fully understood. People often sense God's presence before they even know it's him. I remember praying for some guy once. I was on a hike and climbed up a mountain, and there was a guy sitting on a rock. And as he was sitting there, he was reading this book, and he had this big mat out, and he was kind of in this like meditation posture. And I climbed to the top of the rock and I said, hey bro, how you going? And started to build a conversation with him. And turns out he's a backpacker from Chile, and he was there just kind of meditating and praying to whoever he prayed to. And I asked him, I said, do you believe in Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And he said, oh yes, I know Jesus. I know all the gods, Buddha. It's a new one. Buddha, Muhammad, I know all the gods, and I know all the things and the prophets and the this and the that. And yeah, I know. I love all religions. They're all amazing, and they're all trying to help people be better people. I said, oh man, I think every religion's trying their best to do that. But the reality is we need freedom from our sin. And Jesus came to earth to set us free. And he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin, but he also resurrected and sent his spirit to come and live with us. I said, you can pray to gods and statues and altars and these other things, but did you know that Jesus' presence is actually with us here today on the earth? I don't need to pray to a statue or a thing. The presence of God is here with me because I'm a son of God. Do you want to experience his presence today? And he said, oh, I'm good. I'm all good. I said, come on, would you pray with me? I was banking on the Holy Spirit showing up in this moment. I said, I reckon this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you that he's here. And you're going to feel his presence, and it's going to be a sign for you that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Do you want to pray with me today? And I'm packing it in the background. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I really hope the Holy Spirit shows up here today. But he did promise me he'll be with me always, so I can bank on that. And so I got him. I said, put out your hand like this. And he put out his hand like this. And I said, I just put my hand over top, not touching it, just hovering over the top. And I said, just say this with me. Holy Spirit, if you're here, would you reveal yourself to me? Show me that you love me. And as we sat on that rock, his hands there, he prayed, he said the prayer after me. And then all of a sudden he goes, whoa, what was that? I said, I don't know. You tell me, what was that? And he goes, I felt like electricity hit my hand. I said, wow, that's so cool. Holy Spirit is here, bro. I said, do you want to experience more? Do you want to feel it again? He goes, no, I don't. I said, come on, bro, let's pray again. I'll show you. God's here with you, bro. And he goes, oh, I'm good. I'm like, come on, one more time. Let's just to prove the point. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, God, let me feel it too. And so I said, put out your hand. And he put out his hand and I prayed again. And I said, Holy Spirit, show me you're here. And he goes, oh, I can feel it. God's here. I said, bro, he's alive and he loves you. His presence has been walking alongside you. He's trying to reveal himself to you today. Would you give your life to Jesus? He said, I don't know if I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I said, well, I pray that his presence would follow you home today. I pray that he'd speak to you in the night. I pray that he'd remind you of your identity and who you are in him. I pray he'd remind you of who he created you to be, and you would sense his presence all the days of your life. So I shared with him one of my bananas and then I left and he went on his way. But a language that people understand is the presence of God. And I don't know if you've noticed this already in your life, but as you start to speak to people, you love them and you're kind to them, and they start to sense there's something different about you. Maybe you find people opening up to you about their problems and stuff like that. Well, can I tell you, the presence of God might be drawing them to you as a safe place, but don't just pat them on the back. Pray and release the kingdom of heaven. Prayer is the vehicle that takes theology and makes it tangible. And so we're not called to just be nice Christians, but we're called to carry his power. We're called to carry his love and to show people his presence. I'll give you two more as I close. Fourth is generosity. Generosity, tangible acts of generosity open hearts to spiritual truth. Seeds of generosity show people that God loves them and he wants to provide for them and he wants to be their father. Generosity is an amazing gift that opens the door to spiritual conversations. And the fifth one is hospitality. Hospitality. Do you know the early church boomed because of hospitality? The early church grew so rapidly, not only because people went out on the streets and prayed for the sick and loved people and discipled people in that way, but also because they invited people into their homes and shared a meal with them. You may never be able to, in one conversation, bring someone along to church on a Sunday, but maybe you could bring them to your home and you could show them the presence of God in your home. You could show them the culture of your home and the way you love your wife or your friends or your family. You could bring them into your home, and when they're in your home, it's your house rules. And so when they start sharing about their problems, you say, well, in our house, we pray about these things. Can I pray for you? Hospitality caused the church to boom when people came into homes and saw the kingdom of heaven demonstrated. There's five languages that you can speak that will transcend every culture of society and every people group that you find yourself in influence of. God wants to use you to carry his kingdom. He wants earth to look more like heaven, people to look more like Jesus, and the kingdom of God be established and spread across the earth. God wants to use you. Would you stand on your feet with me today? I want to pray, and I'm going to invite the worship team to join me. Across this room today, I recognize that there are some of us who feel encouraged by reading scriptures like this and hearing stories like this, and we want to be a part of it, but there's some key things that we find holding us back. And just during worship today, I wanted to pray for a few different things. I just was sensing in worship that maybe... Do I go for that one first? Like, I'm always processing, like, Lord, what do I do? All right, I'll just do it because we're family. Is this cool? Can we do this? So I had this sense today in worship that there was someone here maybe in business or in a leadership role in your workplace, or maybe you're a business owner or just in leadership, I'm not sure. But you have been trying to implement kingdom culture values, but just recently in your life and in your business, there's been this temptation to compromise on kingdom values. And there's been this temptation and this opportunity to maybe do things a little bit dodgy, or not, maybe not even dodgy, that sounds hectic, but it sounds illegal. I don't mean that at all. I just mean, like, you once had this standard of excellence and this responsibility that you would represent Jesus in the kingdom of heaven in your business, but recently there's been a temptation and you've been wrestling, like, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. Someone recommends this is the best way to go, but I'm wrestling with that. I feel like Holy Spirit is speaking to someone like that today, and he just wants to anoint you afresh and empower you to lead by example. And I know that can sometimes feel vulnerable to talk about something like that, but if that resonates with you, I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to empower you with wisdom and strength to set the example and set the standard in your business. Is that anyone here today? Maybe one or two people, raise your hands if that's you. Awesome, mate. Hey, sis, awesome. Anyone else? We've got two people over here, three. Was there anyone else that feels like that? You need the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference. Hey, awesome. Make a difference in your workplace. You don't want to compromise on temptation, but awesome. Can you put your hand up nice and high so I can see? Because I want to pray for you that you would be empowered by the Holy Spirit this morning. Can we get some family to gather around them in prayer? Just keep your hand up for 5 more seconds so people can see you. If you're nearby someone, get out of your seats. Go and lay hands on somebody this morning. You can move around the room today. We're a family that believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. If that's you and you don't have someone around you, just pop up your hand higher so we can see. Okay, awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for these leaders in their workplace. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that you would anoint them afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would use their life to set the standard. I pray, God, that you would anoint them and empower them to carry kingdom culture into their workplace and their world of influence. God, I pray, give them wisdom this morning. We bless them with boldness, We bless them with boldness to make decisions that are hard to make, but they're the right decision to make. And I pray that as they step out in faith and they do what aligns with heaven, I pray that people would see the fruit of the kingdom of God budding forth in their workplace and their business. God, we bless their leadership. We bless their influence. Oh, I pray for fruitfulness, God, that people would see Jesus in and through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I also feel this morning that there's some people here that God wants to minister to, and these type of people, you're feeling a little bit hopeless. You're hearing the kingdom of God advancing across the earth and a message like this, and you're thinking, to be honest, I want to believe that, but I just feel like the world and my circle of influence is just getting darker and darker, and I'm struggling to see hope. I'm struggling to see what God could do in that space. If that's you and you feel like you're losing hope and you're struggling to see how God could move in your world, I just want you to raise your hand. We want to pray with you this morning and release hope. Release hope. Awesome. Thanks, bro. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yep. Thanks, bro. Sis over there. Sis here. Awesome. Guys, can we do the same thing? Can we gather around family? If that's you, put your hand up nice and high. If you're struggling to see the kingdom of God moving, you're struggling to have hope for what He could do, just raise your hand nice and high. Awesome, I see that hand. Great. Great, we got family around them. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we just release hope over our brothers and sisters today. God, I pray You would open their eyes to see like You see. May they not only see the problems that surround them, but may they see the hope and the solutions of heaven to address those situations. God, we bless families that are in darkness and we release the kingdom of God. We release the light of heaven, the truth and the power of the gospel. God, we pray over businesses, workplaces, and cities and friendships, God. We pray in the name of Jesus, a release of hope. Help us to see the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, use them, Lord, to usher in Your kingdom. Use them, God, to usher in Your presence. Fill them afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would transform and shift atmospheres in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, I thank You for a joy that they would carry into their week. New eyes and new perspectives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I also just feel like we could all use a double dip of boldness this morning. I think we could all use a double dip of boldness. And you know, something that has caused boldness to arise in my life has not just been praying and asking for it, but actually making declarations of faith in alignment with Scripture and speaking to the atmosphere around me and speaking to my heart on the inside of me and releasing the truth of the kingdom of God. And so I think we can do that through worship this morning. And I've been praying, and I believe we, as we would worship and lift our hands, I want us to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us with a fresh sense of boldness, that when we leave and we go into our week, we would carry an authority and we would carry an awakening to our identity of sons and daughters of God who carry the kingdom. So right now, across this room, would you lift your hands as we get ready to worship? I want to pray for you. So Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, with every hand that is lifted, I pray for those in the room and those who watch online, Lord, that You would fill us with a fresh boldness, God, that we would be like the disciples who would stand in the face of persecution, who would stand in the face of judgment and shame, and we would shine brightly for You, Jesus. Oh, I pray over my brothers and sisters this morning, and I rebuke the enemy that has tried to dim their light. I renounce the lie that they're called to hide away under a basket, and I declare the truth that they are the light of the world, that Christ in them is the hope of glory. God, I pray, fill us with a vision that would see earth transformed, fill us with a vision for our families, for our workplaces, for our friendships, God. We declare that all the earth shall declare your praises, that all the earth shall see the glory of the Lord in our generation. Oh Lord, fill us with the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's sing, church.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.